Welcome to Follow the Medical Record, where healthcare experts give insights into the increasing importance of following a patient's medical record through the health ecosystem with compliance, privacy, security, and efficiency front and center. This podcast is brought to you by MRO and hosted by Don Hardwick, Senior Vice President of Client Relations at MRO. Don has been in the health information management industry for over 40 years and has extensive knowledge of how medical records make their way through the healthcare ecosystem. At MRO, Don is responsible for strategic client engagement programs and overall client satisfaction. To hear from all of MRO's industry experts, be sure to visit mrocorp.com for additional content and to sign up for our monthly e-newsletter. Over to you, Don.
Hi, everyone, and thanks for listening to Follow the Medical Record. I'm your host, Don Hardwick. You can learn a little bit more about me and my background on MRO's website at mrocorp.com and can connect with me on LinkedIn. Also, be sure to follow us on Twitter at MROCORP. We'll be talking to Greg Ford today, who's the Associate Vice President of Requester Relations at MRO, on a great topic impacting hospitals across the country concerning the rising volume of payer audits, or reviews as they're known, and why it's occurring and how hospitals are addressing the issue. So, Greg, thanks for joining the program today.
Thanks for having me, Don. Just a quick introduction. Again, Greg Ford, Associate Vice President, Request and Relations. And in my role, I act as the liaison between MRO clients and the healthcare insurance companies that we refer to as payers. My team is responsible for coordinating large projects for risk adjustment and HEDIS, as well as ensuring that audit requests are being billed appropriately per the managed care agreements.
Super. Thanks for that intro, for your background, Greg. I really appreciate that. Just as a perspective that may be helpful to our listeners too, Greg, can you tell us kind of the volume of locations that your organization, MRO in particular, and then your group services around the country?
Sure. So MRO currently services over 16,000 locations across the U.S., and that number continues to grow.
And in relationship to that, how is the rise of these audits impacted those locations, in particularly hospitals make up the bigger portion of that, but still with the physician practices, it's a combination of an increase in the audit approach from payers around the country as well. How are those numbers impacting your department? And more particularly, what has the growth looked like in those audit numbers?
Yeah, so great question. And just to kind of put a little bit of perspective, the role that I'm in today, this department did not exist at MRO in 2015. It came into existence in 2016, and it was just me. But based on the rising volume of payer requests for, the different purposes of, payment integrity audits, HEDIS, risk adjustment, the department has grown quite substantially, up through 2021 here. So, the impact, here internally at MRO, but, more importantly to our clients, the volume of payer requests has grown tremendously. And just looking, kind of over the last, 3 years, 2019, we saw over a million, payer related requests. 2020, 1.5 million. And then this year, and it's, the year's not even over yet, we're already at 1.6 million. So we're going to, surpass last year with, two full months to go here. So, basically, the volume requests, especially, maybe a provider that doesn't have a release of information company, it's a tremendous burden on the HIM department. Now, MRO will take a lot of that pressure off the clients and coordinate these projects and, again, ensure proper billing for audit requests. So that's, you know, tremendously helpful for, you know, clients that, that do have a release of information vendor. But, you know, kind of just looking at it, you know, from a percentage perspective, you know, kind of going back to 2015, you know, MRO's, you know, overall, you know, our payer related requests were about 12% of our overall mix. So that takes into account all the requests that MRO processes for attorneys, for patients, disability, and these payer related requests. And you kind of look for, you know, fast forward to 2021, that percentage is now 42%. So 42% of the requests we work on are payer related for risk adjustment, HEDIS, and revenue integrity audits. And just to kind of, you know, just take a step back a little bit, when we talk about, you know, payment integrity audits, they're the requests that the payer is looking to take money back from the provider, you know, on paid claims. So definitely not a provider's, you know, friend there. And then we talk about risk adjustment and HEDIS, they're more like reviews. So they're not audits. The payer is not looking to take money back, but they are extremely beneficial to the payer. And, you know, there's just no negative financial impact like there is with the audits.
So other than outsourcing, Greg, to an ROI company like MRO, what are the hospitals doing themselves? The volume being what it is, it seems like that is over the years here, that volume is certainly impacting their labor in order to process these requests. So what alternatives or what other measures are the hospitals looking at other than the outsourcing?
One of the main things that we try to educate our clients on, and, you know, I would imagine, you know, other providers, you know, that don't have a release of information service are hopefully considering this, but it's important to, you know, work with the managed care teams to ensure, you know, that they're putting strong language in the medical records sections of that managed care agreement to make the payer accountable to, you know, pay for the records. What we've seen historically, if there's nothing in the agreement that holds the payer accountable, they tend to throw out a pretty big fishing net, and that cost burden then falls to the provider. If they have strong language in there, it at least makes the payer think twice about how many requests they're going to ask for, and it gives the provider an opportunity to recoup the cost and cover, you know, what they're putting out there in labor to pull the charts for the payer's request. Now, the other thing that we're seeing, and it's becoming a pretty hot topic, is that some providers are considering allowing payers access into their EMR. So that's something that's certainly been a hot topic. And, you know, the payers are pushing the providers more and more for that type of access. But, you know, providers should be aware that there are certainly, you know, risks associated with that, and definitely things they should be concerned about in considering, you know, granting that type of access.
It's a good point. I want to peel back the onion a little bit on that that aspect. We've had on the show in the past some topics concerning privacy, security of the hospital's information systems that contains their medical records. And it seems like to me that this may be a little contrary, if you will, to the security and reliability that from the patient's perspective, that information is not being distributed unnecessarily. Now, I know with the audits that the payers have that right to the information, but do you see problems in relationship to the privacy security from the patient's perspective here?
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, when we talk about, you know, risks and concerns for the providers, you know, privacy and consent is definitely one of the top ones at the list. You know, it shouldn't be assumed that, you know, a patient's consent to share, you know, health records, you know, automatically for, you know, providing continuation of care extends to the payers for whatever their purposes may be. So yeah, privacy and consent is definitely, you know, one of those, you know, top hot buttons and risk and concerns. You know, you also mentioned security. You know, the more access that is out there, that increases the exposure to cyber attacks and exposure to large scale breaches. And, you know, when that stuff gets out there in the news and a provider's name is out there, that it's just not good PR. So, you know, that's a, you know, security is another, you know, really important area. You know, the other ones that I'll mention is in, you mentioned, hey, payers have the right, you know, to audit, and that's absolutely right. You know, they should have access to the records. Now, what historically has happened is that HIM has been kind of the gatekeeper. An audit request may go through the revenue cycle department, who turns it over to HIM, and HIM provides, you know, what's being asked for. You know, and, you know, again, audits are not good, you know, for providers. And, you know, if, you know, these payers have access, you know, what's to stop them from auditing more records? So there's the financial risk and concern of granting, you know, pretty open access to the EMR. You know, that could result in additional denials and recoupments against the provider. So, you know, certainly another area of, you know, risk and concern there. And then finally, you know, I'll say that, you know, there's, you know, granting this access doesn't kind of just, all right, hey, we granted the access, we don't have to worry about it. It's not set and forget it. You know, there's, you know, somebody has to manage that access from multiple entities and make sure that, you know, it stays up to date. So there's certainly cost associated with, you know, granting access and managing it.
Those are great points, Greg. What other than a reduction in the processing cost for a hospital that's doing the work internally, meaning their hospital staff are processing these type of requests, are there any other benefits to granting that access to the payers from a relationship standpoint with the payers, or from an additional cost savings that the hospital's getting? Or are the concerns outweighing the benefits, I guess is the right way to put this?
Yeah, it's a great question. And, you know, I don't know that there's a super great answer, but I'll give you kind of, you know, what we've seen in the industry and, you know, kind of just from, you know, an MRO client perspective as well. So, you know, with value-based care contracts becoming more popular, you know, there's an opportunity for providers to share in, you know, the success of the payer. So that's been driving, you know, a lot of the consideration that providers are giving to, you know, potentially provide access. And, you know, maybe take, you know, some of that pressure off an HIM staff that has to produce the records. Now, if, you know, kind of going back to my earlier point, if the medical record section of the managed care contract is strong, the, you know, these requests for records, you know, can turn into a revenue generator for the provider. So, you know, yes, you have to expend the labor to generate it, but if you're able to cover your costs and at a decent gross margin, and you can, you know, generate, you know, revenue for risk adjustment and HEDIS requests, and, you know, even the audit requests that are being asked to, you can hold the payer accountable to pay for those. So there is definitely things to offset the cost. And we found that for risk adjustment HEDIS, that the payers are reasonable. Those charts are so valuable to them that they will pay something for them to, you know, cover the provider's costs so that it's not a cost burden to them because of the financial benefit that the payers get from getting those charts. There's just a lot to consider, you know, when considering the access and what kind of guardrails, you know, you're going to put again, you know, around that. You know, will you grant access to just the payer? Will you grant access to their business associate, you know, the third party, which is, we see most of the payers utilize a third party? You know, if that vendor has access, but, you know, you've only granted, you know, permitted it for, you know, let's say an Aetna, will they also just go in and pull records for UnitedHealthcare, even though maybe the provider doesn't want them, you know, to have the access? So definitely something that has to be considered. Again, you know, who's going to manage this access as an ongoing process, and, you know, what is the cost associated with that? You know, one of the concerns I didn't bring up, but, you know, there's HIM concerns, you know, regarding limiting what PHI the payer can actually see. You know, they're only entitled to the records that they were the guarantor for. So, you know, what's to, you know, stop them from seeing more than they should? So certainly HIM concerns there. And again, you know, like I mentioned, and you know, I can't stress it enough, the financial risk of potentially more audits, you know, with that, you know, open access.
Greg, I'm seeing it just across the industry itself is that there is a push to have more availability to this medical information on patients, both from a continuity of care standpoint, which is completely understandable. You know, a patient's in one part of the state or a country and they travel to another part of the state or country, and they need to have access to that information for continuation of care if there's an accident. So I understand that piece of it. The other side of it is more of a business related use of patient information. And that's where this is coming in, is the business side of the need for that information. From the patient's perspective, is there any benefit in granting this open access to payers for the patient in the settlement of claims or in their premium differential for, you know, their insurance premiums? Is there any benefit for broadening the access for these payers?
Yeah, another great question, Don. And totally agree with you that, you know, that access for continuation of care, it just makes total sense in getting the patient the treatment that they need. Now, when it comes to, you know, the payer and having that access, you know, I guess I'll answer your question about the patients first and then talk a little bit more about, you know, what we've seen. You know, the payers, you know, will say that, hey, look, you know, we want access to manage costs, you know, improve engagement with providers. They'll say, you know, we want to help members make better healthcare choices. So that is a potential plus. Now, in my experience in working with, you know, a couple of different insurance companies, just from a personal perspective, I don't know that the payers have quite gotten, you know, the medical record thing right. It seems they're trying to do one size fits all, and it doesn't seem to work well from my personal experience, much different than the experience I've had with providers that are sharing, you know, records with patients through, you know, maybe an Epic Care Link or an Epic Patient Portal. I think the payers, the providers do it much better. The payers haven't quite gotten there, in my opinion. Now, I think at the heart of this, and understandably, you know, the payers are looking really to manage their costs. Most of these payers are large corporations that are beholden to shareholders, and, you know, being able to cut out some of the costs, and, you know, will certainly help their bottom line. So I think that's, you know, really the primary driver. And hey, if we can improve, you know, engagement with providers and, you know, maybe improve the, you know, the members being able to make better, you know, healthcare choices, then that's a plus. But, you know, ultimately, you know, corporations are beholden to their stockholders. So it makes sense that they want to try to, you know, cut costs where they can.
Certainly makes sense. I know that just access across the spectrum of companies and entities that want that information, it does pose some additional constraints on the privacy piece for these patients. I'm not sure that the patients understand reality of who's accessing their records and under what circumstances.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Not to cut you off there, Don, but you know, you also mentioned, you know, in your question in part about the business, you know, that's kind of associated with, you know, the access. And there's a lot of, you know, noise around, you know, large corporations such as Amazon and Google wanting to buy this type of data from providers or from payers, you know, because it's an opportunity to sell into the, you know, the healthcare marketplace. So, you know, there's been some studies done, and it's kind of actually scary that, you know, even though, you know, this information has been de-identified, from being able to match other information on the records, the majority of them were able to be re-identified, and that patient was no longer, you know, kind of masked at that point. So definitely, you know, would be a concern from a patient perspective that their information is being sold out there, and it's not, you know, it's not truly, you know, de-identified.
Yeah, that's that is a big concern, and I think that as time goes on, just publication of information and how it's being used and under what circumstances is going to be more and more in the news. I completely agree that there is a business need and there is a medical need. It's controlling and managing and having a gatekeeper that's going to help assist in that privacy and under what conditions that information can be disclosed is going to be more and more in the forefront.
Yeah, I would agree with you 100%, Don. And I think there's a right way to give access to the payers, and that, you know, with some of the, you know, the acquisitions that MRO has done here this year, we're going to have, you know, some solutions for our clients that are, that help them, you know, provide, you know, managed access so that it can, you know, remove those HIM concerns or privacy and consent security concerns. So, you know, definitely more to come on that. And it's definitely exciting to see how we'll be able to, you know, assist our clients further.
Well, Greg, I appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule. I know you're very busy and agreeing to be on the show today. It's been very informative, and I hope that our listeners will also agree. So thanks. Thanks again for taking the time to be on the show.
Yeah, no problem. It was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So for more insight on a patient's medical record through the health system, visit our show's page at mrocorp.com and be sure to explore additional resources and thought leadership on our website. You can also check out our program page on healthcarenowradio.com. Finally, be sure to connect with us on Twitter at MROCORP. Until we talk again, I'm your host, Don Hardwick. Good day.